Internal memo. Gerardo Avila, Panopticon, to Data Resources, Panopticon, October 2, 2046. We are seeking inmates who fit the following profile. 1. Serving either indeterminate life sentences or fixed-term sentences that extend beyond the inmate's natural lifespan. 2. Has had a prolonged period, 5-plus years, of no contact with anyone on the outside. This includes, but is not exclusive to, family, friends, previous employers and/or employees, lawyers, journalists and authors, advocacy groups, external law enforcement, FBI, CIA, other federal organizations, including immigration services. 3. Has professional qualifications, previous employment, or transferable skills in one of the following areas: transportation, construction, all trades, computer science, information technology, applied science, medicine, horticulture. 4. Is not suffering from a degenerative or chronic physical or mental condition that would cause death or debilitation in the immediate 5-plus years future. 5. Is currently in reasonable physical and mental health between the ages of 21 and 60. Please compile a list of potential candidates and send them to me by Friday. Gerardo Avila, Special Projects Coordinator, Panopticon. Put your hands on the table. Frank's hands were already cuffed together, joined by 3 steel links. His feet were also shackled. The seat he sat on was bolted to the ground, and the table in front of him was the same. The room was all wipe-clean surfaces. The smell of bleach was an alkaline sting in the back of his throat and on the lids of his eyes. It wasn't as if he could go anywhere or do anything, but he still complied with the order. Slowly, he raised his hands from his lap, feeling the drag of the metal biting into his skin, and lowered them onto the black vinyl covering of the table. There was a large hole drilled in it. Another length of chain was run through the circle made by his cuffed arms and into the hole. His guard put a padlock on it and went to stand by the door they'd both entered through. Frank pulled up to see how much slack he'd been given. The chain rattled and tightened. 10, maybe 11 inches. Not enough to reach across the table. The chair did not move. The table didn't move. He was stuck where he was for however long they wanted. It was a change, though, something different. To his left was a frosted window, bars on the outside, a grill on the inside. He looked up. A light, a length of fluorescent tube, humming slightly and pulsing in its wire cage. He could see the guard out of the corner of his right eye. He waited, listened to the nearby hum and the more distant echoing sounds of doors slamming, buzzers rasping, voices shouting. These were the sounds that were most familiar to him. His own breathing, the soft scratch of his blue shirt, the creak of stress as he shifted his weight from leaning forward to sitting back. He waited because that was all he could do, all he was allowed to do. Time passed. He became uncomfortable. He could only rest his hands on the table, and he couldn't get up and walk around. Eventually, he grunted, "So why am I here?" The guard didn't move, didn't smile. Frank didn't know him and wasn't sure if he was one of the regular staff anyway. The uniform was the same, but the face was unfamiliar. Frank eased forward, twisted his arms so he could put his elbows on the table and put his weight on them. His head drooped forward. He was perpetually tired, from lights on to lights out. It wasn't an earned tiredness, a good tiredness. Having so little to do was exhausting. Then there was the scrabble of a key at a lock, and the other door, the one facing him, that led to the free world, opened. A man in a suit came through and, without acknowledging Frank or the guard, put his briefcase on the table and pushed at the catches. The lid sprang open, and he lifted it to its fullest extent so that it formed a screen between Frank and the contents of the case. The briefcase smelled of leather, earthy, rich in aromatic oils. The clasps and the corners were bright golden brass, polished and unscratched. They shone in the artificial light. The man pulled out a cardboard folder with Frank's name on it, shut the briefcase, and transferred it to the floor. He sat down. His chair could move, and sorted through his papers.